So we're starting a series today called Everyday Faith. We're going to be diving into the book of James, and we're going to try and give you a lot of everyday tips to help you build an everyday faith, because the deal about faith is it's needed every day. We want to help you build an everyday faith. And today what we're going to talk about is James, as he writes this letter, right away dives into this idea of the reason you need an everyday faith. A reason is you will face life that has a lot of adversity and a lot of uncertainty. So faith is required. Faith is needed. So we're going to talk today about how do you handle adversity and uncertainty. We're going to look at a passage from James, and then I'm going to actually invite and see what he has to say, and then I'm going to invite a friend of mine to come up at the end and talk about how he navigates adversity and uncertainty and how his faith informs that. So James 1:1, we see this book of the Bible. It's only five chapters, just 108 verses. It's a very small book, but it's practically applicable. It's jam-packed with practical application. And James, what we said last week in Easter is James was the brother of Jesus. Like if I were introducing myself to people, I'd say, "Hi, I'm James. I'm Jesus's brother." But he doesn't say that. He says, "I'm James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ." When James saw that Jesus rose from the dead, Jesus was no longer just, he wasn't his older brother. He was his Lord. He was his Savior. And that's who's writing the letter, and he's writing it to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations. When it says to the 12 tribes, what he's saying is there were the 12 tribes of Israel. They had really gone through a lot of shifting and things like that throughout the years, but now in Acts chapter 8, a severe persecution happened against the church, and all these believers in Jerusalem were scattered. So imagine trying to teach a group of people what it means to follow Jesus when Jesus following was a very new thing. And all of a sudden, the people you're trying to teach are scattered all over. What do? You write a letter. James is writing it, and he's writing it to the 12 tribes who are scattered. That was their adversity. That was their uncertainty. So right away, James says, hey, here's who's writing it. Here's who it's from. And he jumps right in. Here's why you need an everyday faith. James 1:2, it says this. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Consider it pure joy. I don't know about you. I don't consider it pure joy. Like, that's not my reaction. I consider it an inconvenience. I consider it a problem. I consider it something I hate. I consider it a lot of things. But James says you need to get a hold of your mindset. How you think about it matters. He's not saying, how do you feel about facing trials of many kinds? He's not asking how you feel about it. He's saying, are you choosing how you think about it? Because when life gets difficult, and it certainly will, you have a choice to make. When you face adversity or uncertainty, you have a choice to make of how you will consider it. Your mindset matters. Your perspective matters. It's an act of faith to really say, God, I believe that you're going to use this, that you're going to do something here, that you're not out of control. I trust you. James says, I need you to choose. And again, it's not how you feel, but it's how will you think about this? How will you believe about this? And here's kind of four truths to remember about difficulty and uncertainty. The first one is this. Problems are inevitable. Whenever you face trials, you're going to face trials. You're going to face difficulty. You're going to face uncertainty. It's inevitable. It's going to happen. It doesn't schedule itself. And when it does, I'll put it on your calendar, but when it does show up, it shows up not always the most opportune time or the most opportune way. It just shows up. It's inevitable. Whenever you face trials, that's going to happen. The other thing is problems are variable. They look different. It's trials of many kinds. You're not just going to get one kind of difficulty that comes at you. They're going to come all different ways, all different kinds. And you guys have experienced that. I'm not telling you anything you don't know. We've experienced that. Life is hard. It's challenging. And a lot of times, our problems and opportunities, our difficulties, they don't take turns. Say, Tuesday's my day to show up in Doug's life. Are you Wednesday? Like, no, they show up sometimes all at once. And the thing is problems are unpredictable. Look at this, how the Phillips translation translates this. When all kinds of trials and temptations crowd into your lives. That's how it feels like, right? When difficulty comes, it feels like they're crowding in. Don't resent them as intruders. Welcome them as friends. When I read that, I was like, I got to get better friends. those are not the kind of friends I want in my life. No, welcome them as friends. Why in the world would you do that? Here's why. This is what James wants people to remember. Why you can choose is your problems are purposeful. He says, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. When he says testing, it's not like a pop quiz. Although it certainly fulfills that purpose. Like when a difficulty shows up, who I really am bubbles to the surface. You know, like if someone's carrying a glass full of something and you bump into them and it spills, you're going to find out what was in that cup really quickly because it spills out onto you. I dodged a bullet. Like I had a cup of coffee and all of a sudden this morning and it went right down. I was like, I'm going to have to be up here with a coffee stain because you would have seen, oh, he had coffee this morning. Because when you bump something and it spills over, we get to see what's inside. That's what happens when people bump into you this week. When you bump into a difficulty or a difficult person, what's in you is going to show up. So in a way, testing of your faith, it is kind of a pop quiz. But that's not what this means. It's not a testing to see what's in there. It's a testing to grow what's in there. It's what 1 Peter 1 says, approving of your faith. It's like God is working on you and in you. It serves a purpose. And so James says, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Do you know that? Because I'm pretty forgetful. I forget when things are going in a difficult way or an uncertain way that there's purpose in that. I don't welcome it as a friend. Let me tell you why that's so important. Years ago, I heard these stories, and it made such an impression on me. I know I've told it before, so you may have heard this before. But in World War II, last night, Band of Brothers was on. I love that miniseries. And it was the episode, Why We Fight. It's such a powerful episode about why what the Easy Company and the Airborne was doing was so important. They come across this concentration camp doing unspeakable things. When they saw it, they didn't even know it existed. They didn't know what it was. They couldn't wrap their head around it. And the more people dove into what happened in these camps in World War II by the Nazis, it was terrible, terrible things. You know what they were really good at? Breaking people's will. And this is how they did it. They would say, okay, these prisoners, you go over here. We want you guys to go over here and dig a hole 6 feet by 6 feet by 6 feet. So they would go and they would dig and they'd be so tired because they're worn out. They've been starving. They dig the hole and they go, okay, now fill that in and go dig another one over here 6 feet by 6 feet by 6 feet. And they would just have them go back and forth. Purposeless adversity. Or they'd say, there's a big pile of rocks over here, like big ones you have to strain to carry. We want you to carry that whole pile of rocks over there and move the pile over here. And one by one, they would struggle to carry them over. And they would finally get done. They go, okay, now put it right exactly back where it was before. And what would happen is it would break the prisoner's will. Because we were not designed for our minds to live without purpose or hope. And when you take that away, it can break you. Don't let that be taken from you. Consider it pure joy. Think about how you're going to think about things. Because you need to know that this testing, this working on your faith, there's purpose in it. It produces something. It serves a purpose. There's actually a benefit. And here's how it's purposeful. Here's three things it does for us. One, it does this. It produces perseverance. They develop my perseverance. Perseverance means the ability to keep going when you want to stop. James basically says, when life gets difficult, when life gets uncertain, keep going. Know that there's purpose, that the next step serves a purpose and will actually help you go further in the future. Problems develop my endurance, my perseverance. They do something. And when you develop perseverance, it allows you to keep going when you want to stop. Problems test my faith. Again, testing your faith, it serves a purpose. It's not testing like to see what's in there. It's testing to put something stronger in there. It's a testing, it's a process of what it does. And it develops that endurance. Problems develop our endurance. And the thing is, they grow our maturity. They grow us up. They mature my character. James tells them, let perseverance, let that ability to keep going when you want to stop, let that keep working so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If you were going to cook something last night in the oven, let's say you were making cookies or pizza or whatever it is, and you're cooking it, and you decide, I'm really hungry. I can't wait for this. It says to cook it for 30 minutes. I'm going to cook it for 3, but I didn't put it in the microwave. Chances are it won't turn out the way it was supposed to. That's kind of what's true for us. God wants us to keep going in these difficult moments so we can be mature and complete. He can finish the work he's trying to do out of us, not lacking anything. Everything you need is on the other side of perseverance when God is leading you through that and when God's at the center of your life. They mature our character. They grow us up. So let perseverance finish its work, because that means God is at work. He's working in you. Keep working. But for that to happen, you've got to value. You have to pay, and by value, I mean, you've got to put a high price, like this is worth a lot. The price tag I put on me growing my character, me growing spiritually, that matters more than other things. If you don't put a right price on that and you undervalue it, you'll tap out and you won't persevere. But if you place a high value on, I want to be who God created me to be, I want to grow, be mature and complete as God works on me. If you value that, that will help you keep going and keep growing. And that's what James tells them, and he tells us, keep going and keep growing. So this week, when you face uncertainty, when you face trials of many kinds, and you will in some way, or when you face uncertainty that makes life difficult in some way, I want to help you talk about a game plan. In a few minutes, I'm going to get Mark Adams to come up. We're going to talk about, you know, he's a coach. He develops game plans. I want to give you a game plan for perseverance. How do you respond when life gives you adversity and difficulty this week? One is this. Rejoice in the problems. Consider it pure joy. Not for the problems, but when you are right in the middle of it, stop and say, God, I am not feeling joy, but I'm going to consider that there's joy in this moment. Sometimes we think that joy is just on the other side, but as you keep going and keep growing, joy sometimes before the situation is resolved. Consider it pure joy. You cannot delegate that decision of how you're going to think about it. It's yours and yours alone to make. And it's not for, but it's in that circumstance. It's a choice. It's a mindset. How will you think about difficulty? And we know that God can bring bad out of good. He does it all the time. It's a tool he uses to grow us up. The second thing, if you find yourself in a game plan for difficulty and uncertainty, is ask God for wisdom. If any of you lacks wisdom, let's just pause there. James is really kind of being kind with us, right? Because he could have said, you all lack wisdom. And even the most wise person in this room, who's probably not me, whoever the most wise person in this room, James would say, there's room for growth there. You can become more wise. As a matter of fact, the wisest people are usually the ones who value seeking wisdom their whole life. If any of you lacks wisdom, whether you're wise or foolish, there's room for growth. We all lack wisdom. So what should we do? We should ask God. Ask him for wisdom, because here's his promise. He gives generously to all without finding fault. It will be given to you. Not it might, not it could, not it'll be hidden somewhere, but you got to find it. No, it's out there. And when you value growth and you also value wisdom, it will give you everything you need to keep going and keep growing. This is a tremendous promise that God gives us. It will be given to you. Don't forget that. Acknowledge that you need wisdom. Admit that you need wisdom. And then start seeking it out and keep growing in wisdom. Again, what value will you place on being more wise? Because if you place a high value on growing up in your faith. And he placed a high value on growing in wisdom. When those moments come that tempt you to go a different way, or to get stuck in the moment, or complain about the moment, or whatever it is, like in those moments, you'll say, no, I value my growth in spiritually and my wisdom. I'm gonna value that so much that I'm gonna believe God means what he says and he'll do what he said he'll do. I'm trusting the promise. Because this is a promise to remember. It will be given to you. So remember God's promises. This week, when you face adversity and you face difficulty, remember God's promises. He keeps his promises. And then he makes another one in verse 12 about here's why you keep going and keep growing. Here's the deal. If when you do that, you're blessed. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial. And he keeps using the words trial and test, trial and test, trial and test. James uses it a lot. And here he says, blessed is the one who does it, who keeps going and keeps growing. We did a series years ago on the Beatitudes. Blessed are the mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they'll inherit the earth. Those statements that Jesus made in the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed, there's lots of ways to consider what it means, but blessed, what it really means, it means it is to your advantage. You have a God-given advantage when you persevere under trial. We have to think differently about difficulty, because when things go bad in my life, I think something's wrong with me or something wrong's with God. I do not feel blessed. I do not consider it pure joy. You've got to choose how you'll think about it. And James says, it doesn't make sense to you. Our ways are not his ways. We can't see the big picture. But he says, what I want you to know is blessed is the one who perseveres, who keeps going when they want to stop, who keeps growing when they think I'm good. One of the key things for James was this idea of humility. It requires us of saying there is a God and it's not me, but I do believe he's with me in this trial. And he says, when you do that, having stood the test, that person, the person who perseveres, will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. And here's one of our value problems. We don't value growth. We don't value wisdom. And we don't value eternity. It's hard for me to give up something I want today for something that's promised after I die. We have a disconnect from eternity. We live in the now. We live for today. We live for ourselves. So blessed is the one who perseveres under trial. The Lord has promised something to you in eternity. So let me give you three questions to consider. I want you to think about your life and think about the way you think about how your faith informs how you respond to difficulty and uncertainty. Okay, here are the three questions. Number one, is there a disconnect between your faith and your everyday life? In your everyday life, on a Monday, on a Friday, on a Saturday, on a Tuesday, whatever day of the week it is, at a random time, how is your faith anchored in your life? That it informs how you speak, how you treat people, how you think about people. How does it inform everything you do? Or is there a disconnect? Is there no value that you're placing to say, in a given moment, I'm going to always default to my faith? Not what I believe, but how I live out what I believe. Because for James, his big deal was, if you believe in Jesus, if you've experienced Jesus, it will change you, which means it'll change how you live every day. Is there a disconnect between your faith and your everyday life? And then there's this question. How do you view versus think about? What is your mindset? How do you view difficulty and uncertainty? If something showed up tomorrow, unannounced, that was extremely difficult, how would you respond? How would you consider it? If all of a sudden a huge known for you became a huge unknown for you, something about a job, a relationship, something going on, all of a sudden there was a huge unknown about your kids, about your parents, whatever it is, what's your knee-jerk reaction of how you view difficulty and uncertainty? Because James is challenging us to think different. And then here's the third question. I think this is a big one. This is the one that really kind of got me the most. How do you value maturity and eternity? What price tag do you put on God finishing his work in you? Because he's promised to finish what he started. Are you as committed as he is? He's fully invested in you. But when push comes to shove on an everyday moment, or when there's no pushing or shoving and you're just drifting, do you value growing spiritually so much that you're seeking it out, you're pursuing it, you're thinking differently, living differently, you're asking for it? Like, is it the top value in your life that God would grow you? And for the things that God says, when you do this, it makes a difference in eternity, do you value today more than you do that day? Are you willing to say yes no matter what God asks, even if it costs you something today that you think, but that's what I would really, it would really make me happy. But if God says, no, this is what matters, eternity. Which do you value most? How do you value things? How do you view or think about things? And where is there a disconnect? Because we need an everyday faith, because faith matters every day. And that's what we're going to talk about in this series, and we're going to get very, very practical, because that's what James does. Well, I saw this lived out in someone's life this week, and I asked him to come up and let me interview him and ask him a few questions about this. So this is Mark Adams, the head basketball coach at Texas Tech University. Welcome him. Mark, thanks for being here, and congratulations on a great week.
Thank you. I tell you, it's great to have good friends like Doug. He's was in my corner and my confidant, and I spent a lot of time with him in prayer, and I hadn't get a chance to really, really thank you for that, so I appreciate that.
Well, thanks. I appreciate that. Thank you.
And all your prayers as well. I know you guys are praying for me. Thank y'all.
Yeah, a lot of people in this room were praying for you and cheering for you, and a lot of people in Lubbock and Brownfield and West Texas, and a lot of people. That had to be humbling to have that many people kind of come to your support and say, we're praying for you, and that had to mean a lot.
It was. It was humbling and certainly appreciated, and a lot of great people out there that were supporting myself and my family, so meant
awesome.
A lot to me.
Well, we're talking about James and how do we view adversity and uncertainty, and you certainly dealt with a lot of that the last 2 weeks. That's an understatement. The difference between what you navigated and what a lot of we navigate is yours was very public. I mean, it was out there, and most of our stuff isn't that public. And then what wasn't as public, although a lot of people know, is you went through a lot of adversity and uncertainty at the beginning of the year, the end of last year, with your twin brother, Matt, who passed away. I know that was a difficult situation. And those aren't the only times in your life you faced that. You've faced difficulty and adversity and uncertainty a lot. Talk about how you view difficult situations. How do you approach them? How do you think about it? And how does your faith inform that?
That's a great question. I think one thing we all have in common is we're going to go through tough times. And it was tough those couple of weeks, especially that first week when I found out Coach was leaving. You know, I wish I was a lot like James. I wish I could stand up here and say, you know, when that adversity hits me, I have this joy in my heart, and I'm excited about it. And But I don't have that kind of maturity as a Christian, and I'm always working towards that. But, you know, I think the first thing that happens when this adversity sets in, you go through these tough times, is you feel like a victim. You know, so you get knocked down. And in life, we all get knocked down. And the first thing, there's about two or three things you can do. You can sit there and lay down there and feel sorry for yourself. You can doubt the situation, make excuses, or you can get yourself back up, you know, and that's what we eventually have to do. And so that recovery time to get up quickly when you get hit is something that's important. So we try to practice that. When I'll talk, you know, I mean, I could talk a little bit about our team going through some of those adversities too. And we do some things and some drills in practice. But there was a tennis pro that gave me this acronym, and it said, it was EAR, E-A-R, and it says that they try to remind these tennis players, first, just expect things are going to happen. Just like in this room, you can expect, you know, there's going to be some trouble, some challenges around the corner, so expect it. The second thing is you accept it. When it happens, you say, you know, I'm ready for this, and I knew this was going to happen. The third is the R is reset. You reset, hey, this happened, I got to forget about it, put it in the rearview mirror, and then stay in the present and be focused. So I think that's something that I've tried to do. I'm not going to do any more acronyms, but one more. But it's just WIN, W-I-N. You know, what am I going to do now? And to stay in the present. You got to see, you know, where you are and be where your feet are. And with that, you can move forward. And so those are some things. Then I think the very last thing is the one thing we can control when we're in tough situations, our attitude. Have a positive attitude, your faith in God. God's in control. Continue to pray about it and trust Him.
Yeah. Just to clarify, you said the acronym WIN is what's important now, not what am I going to do. I just felt like I needed to correct. I needed to coach you on that.
That's right.
Yeah. So for those for the people that are like I that acronym doesn't make sense. I can't make it work.
I'm sorry. What am I? Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. So and I'll even say Albert Einstein. That's who's a little smarter than both of us. Always said that that the most important thing is to figure out what is important right now and to take advantage of that and to put it into action. So, and he coaches me like this all the time. You know, even after a game, he tries to coach me.
That's not true.
And he knows nothing about basketball.
I have nothing
to add. He's a hockey guy.
I have nothing to add with basketball. So when it comes to adversity, you actually think adversity can be a good thing. It actually can serve a purpose. Talk about why you think facing difficulty actually could be good for us.
Well, two things come to mind. I think the first one is what's good about that is when we feel good about ourselves, when as my wife would say, we're all that in a bag of chips, you know, everything's just great and the band's playing and we just love ourselves. We're full of our own love. And I think that self-centeredness is dangerous. And I think that's when Satan does most of his work. But when things are down, bad things happen to us and we become humble. You talk about humility. You know, and we're on our knees praying. That's when God does His best work. So that's when we can really grow. And I think growth's really important through adversity. Now, from a basketball's perspective, a lot of things that we do out in practice is to prepare our guys for this adversity. And if you ask any of our players, one of our favorite drills is we call it the kill drill. And that sounds pretty tough, doesn't it?
But sounds.
You,
we'll
you take
see.
Four guys, you put them out there, and then the whole team is really against them. And they've got to get four defensive stops in a row. So we put a fresh offensive team out there. They're passing the ball around. And the defense has to stop them each for three possessions. So they can get two possessions. And if the offense makes a bucket, then it starts over. But they're always fresh. So there's three things I'm trying to get those defensive guys do. I want them tired. I want them fatigued. And I want them frustrated. And I want them to experience failure. And so through those things, and some guys, a team may stay out there 10, 15 minutes, but through those that exercise over and over, these guys finally have to learn to work together and have a good attitude, and it really strengthens our team, mentally and physically. So a lot of that is that mental toughness. So through that adversity, they're stronger, they're tougher. We get in games, we take a lot of pride in that.
And you said something at the very beginning, like when things get difficult, we tend to turn inward and focus on ourselves. And these tough times focus us more on Him and seeking Him out. Like, how would you challenge us? Like, man, when things get difficult, here's why it's so important not to think about yourself, but to think outwardly focused. Why is that so important?
You know, I think when your things are uncertain in life. And one thing, it was just a great lesson for me even this last week or two, is when things are tough and you start questioning things and you're praying to God and you're not getting the answers and we're all saying, you know, God, just your will be done. It was refreshing and encouraging to me and comforting me when so many other people were praying for me. It would just reminded me, I hope my prayers are getting to heaven, but I know that yours are that are praying for me are getting to heaven, and yours and all those people around me that were praying gave me confidence and that God's will would be done and that it gave me trust, gave me some trust and appreciation for those people around me.
So the last 2 weeks there was a lot of uncertainty, and again, your situation is different than most of ours. Yours is playing out on social media and on the news. And I mean, it was very public as transitions are happening and questions were there, and there's a lot of uncertainty. You had a lot of difficult choices to make, and you handled it marvelously, really well. But I know it wasn't easy. When you face moments like that where you don't know what to do and you don't know what's going to happen, how does your faith inform you navigating an unknown situation when you don't know what to do or what's going to happen?
I'm uncertain to answer that about this uncertainty because that's a great question. But, you know, because, you have doubt, and that doubt a lot of comes from Satan, and you just, again, have to rely on your faith and those around you. And like visiting with your pastor and with friends that know who you are. And I think another great way to deal with that when you have uncertainty is count your blessings. You start looking around, take inventory of all the great things God's done in your life and those blessings to give you some reassurance that he's there, and appreciate what you're going through and not getting that I feel sorry for myself or the, poor pitiful me, type position.
Yeah. A lot of times when you don't know what to do, James says wisdom's really important.
James also said about the joy, and I'm struggling with that a little bit too.
That's all right. I don't think James would have said it if we didn't struggle with it, right? Like, he knows we're all going to struggle with that. But when you're facing uncertainty, or even when you're not, wisdom is so necessary. When you're facing times where you don't know what to do, how do you seek out God's wisdom?
You know, that's a great question. I think reading the Bible, there's so many stories in the Bible of all these characters that nearly every one of them have one commonality, and that's they go through tough times, and God brings them through that, so I think reading the Bible is the first thing about wisdom. So, and speaking of which, Doug and I both, we challenged each other, we're going to read the Bible all the way through from start to finish. When did we do that? Was that back in October?
Yeah.
And so I haven't finished yet. Now I'm in the New Testament, but he finished about 2 months ago. And the reason I know that because he reminds me that every day that he was. But when I say that, let me make sure, he's a faster reader than me, but it doesn't mean he has more wisdom than I do, just because he made it through. But I think that's reading the Bible is huge. I tell you, another thing is your experience. You know, we've all gone through adversity. So you can look back and say, how did I deal with this in the past? One thing that's really helped me is that going through these tough times and looking back at my experience, I thought also about other people, and that helped me. I got a basketball team, young guys, 18, 19, 20 years old. They're going through this, feeling the same stress, the same uncertainty, worrying as I am. And so talking to them, praying for them, also gave me strength through that. So I think that's where wisdom's helped me. Of course, I'm still praying for it every day, and I need all y'all to pray. I've got a lot of things on my plate now, so I need to be a lot smarter than I was a few weeks ago.
Well, I know I've heard you say that one of the keys to being wise is surround yourself with wise people. Put good people around you, and life goes better. I mean, it says that throughout the Bible. You tend to do that. How important is getting the right people around you, not just as a staff or players, but just in life? How important is that, and how have you done that?
Well, I think we all, in business, we all try to surround ourselves with people that can fill in the holes and maybe my weaknesses are their strengths. And so I need a lot of people around me, to fill in for those weaknesses. So, but I've always been fortunate with God's help to have good players, good staff around me to support me. And I really believe in that family atmosphere, and everybody's in this together, guys that love the Lord, that love basketball, love hard work, and share the same vision I do. So that's an important part of it.
Yeah. Let me just kind of share with you one observation that I made. I made it this week, but I've made it for a long time about Mark. One thing we say at Live Oak is that people matter to God. All people all the time matter to God, so they should matter to us. And one thing I truly have observed is people matter to Mark Adams, that no matter who you are, he values you. And I think we saw that connection, that players have felt that. I've heard you on phone calls talking to a player where you often end saying, I love you. And sometimes I heard one particular player say, I know. Like, you value people, and I appreciate that about you, that people matter to God. And I think there's a lesson there for us. Because let me shift this more from hearing from a coach to talking to people that might be fans. People matter to God. Coaches matter to God. Players matter to God. Referees matter to God. Former coaches matter to God. Former players matter to God. Opposing players matter to God. I worked in pro hockey for a decade and as a chaplain, and I just suddenly became aware of this reality about us, or at least me and others, that we treat people that are in sports as if they're characters in a movie. With our comments on social media, and I get being a rabid fan. Like, fan is the root of the root of the word fanatic. Like we get so into it. But I'll never forget sitting in the stands and hearing a fan talk about somebody I knew that was playing in the game, and also knowing that their spouse was sitting really nearby too. I thought, wow, their wife just had to hear that. Players matter to God, no matter what color they wear on their jersey. Coaches, current and former, matter to God. Referees matter to God. People matter to God. So I think there's a lesson for us as fans in terms of how we respond to people. They're not characters in a movie. They're real people. And I can say that I've seen that value lived out in you remarkably well. And you are as genuine and loving a person that, as I know, I can't tell you how much I appreciate that. And I'm so glad that staying in West Texas, that's hopefully going to be part of the thing that everyone experiences here in your program, in the university, and around here. So thank you for making that a value in your life.
Thank you.
Yeah. Hey, let me ask you one last question. How can we pray for you?
How much time do we have?
2 minutes.
2 minutes. You know, I would just appreciate your prayers that with this title and this leadership role that I'm excited about and embrace, comes a lot of responsibility. And so if y'all could just pray for, I'm putting a staff together, and we're, you know, still assembling the right basketball team. Just pray for wisdom, and pray that that God will surround me with godly people, and that his will be done, and he'll give me the leadership qualities that I need to move this team forward.
You bet.
Okay, thank you.
Well, let me go ahead and pray for you now, and then pray for us as well. And I just want to ask you, like, if Mark was in your small group, or he's a friend and came up and said, hey, would you pray for me? I hope you would do that. Well, he did it to a lot of people at once. Maybe that's taking the easy way out of getting people praying for you, but I think it's something we should follow through on. Would you guys promise that you'd pray for Mark for the things he just shared? Awesome, thanks. Let me do that now, and let me also pray for you guys. Heavenly Father, thanks for Mark. Thanks for the fact that he is genuine, and he genuinely loves you and genuinely loves people. Thanks for the gifts you've given him in basketball. I pray he would do his best to be his very best here. I pray you'd give him wisdom where he needs it. Put the right people around him that are wise and that can make him and the program in this city, in this area, better. I pray you'd give him just everything he needs to follow you, to lead well, and to be successful in all he does. And God, I do pray for the people in this room. Thank you that all of us, what we have in common is that we matter to you, so much so that you're going to give us wisdom when we need it, that you're going to be with us when we walk through it, the difficulties, that you're going to help us navigate the uncertainty. And thanks that there's nothing that could happen. Even our mistakes, you use it for good purposes. God, help us to place a high value on growing up spiritually. Help us to place a high value on keeping going, persevering. And God, we thank you that you've given us practical wisdom through James and through people around us, that we can be wiser tomorrow than we are today. We can grow further than we have today. We can go further than we have today. So help us to consider it all pure joy. Consider all of it pure joy, because you're going to use it. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Hey, next week, we're going to be back here at 9:30 and 11, Everyday Faith Part 2, and we're going to be celebrating communion. Thanks for being here. Have a great week.